World's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Friday morning here. Flea Flicker Friday. I'm gonna do my best to do some flea flicking today rather than making the show all about me. I don't realize I don't try to make it all about me. I'm the host of the show, so therefore I'm the guy that's got to. You want to try something hard one time? Those of you out there who think this job is easy, and you know the guys I mentioned yesterday who are starting their own shows, you understand what it's like when you say, "Does anybody have anything to say?" And it's silence, and then you think, "Oh, everybody's looking at me. What do I do now?" So when I come in and I say it's Flea Flicker Friday, I really want it to be Flea Flicker Friday, but I got a whole list of things to talk about in case you don't flick any meat on the table. So it's a Flea Flicker Friday. I'd like for you to flick some meat on it. But my wife and I went to a funeral yesterday. This happens to me a lot. Not funerals. I didn't mean that. I love my wife, man. It was an hour and a half drive down there, just being with her in the car for 3 hours. Just a special time. And so we're going to the funeral, and it's a distant relative. Michelle, it's Michelle's side of the family. So she knew, I didn't know anybody there, really. A couple people, I didn't know anybody there. But strangely, some of them knew me, or at least knew what I did. And they said, hey, coach. And then they ask you this. So coach, what are you doing now? Now, can somebody answer that for me? Coach, what are you doing now?
Where my hey, coach.
Hang on a minute. Sometimes my children feel uncomfortable. And they say, your dad the coach? Yeah. What's he doing now? It would be so much easier if they could just say, well, he pastors a church in Hebron. Oh, okay. Because they don't really want to know. So when they ask, what's your dad doing now? They're curious about what their dad's doing, but they don't really care. But the tension comes, what do I do? What is it I do? Somebody tried to say something. I walked on you there. I apologize. Come on in.
I'm just saying that if you don't stay connected with one another, love one another, and feel each other's pain, how are you going to know what's going on with each individual who lives in your area?
Well, that's true, Jeff. But family, you know how family is. This family gets so spread out, we lose contact with family. I understand. That's why we're having, again, a huddle this weekend, because those things matter. People get together. You get in relationship with one another. Serge checks in with Mike Blake. Mike Blake checks in with, they check in. I called Todd Barham the other day, check to see how Todd was doing. I make phone calls, periodic phone, because of the interconnectedness of it. So that's all important. But the question again, I'm going to, what is it I do? So stop a minute. What is it you do? What does Jeff Nell do? Well, he says, well, I street preach. What? Yeah, I street preach. Where? Well, how do you explain what it is that you do? How do I explain? I do a program. I'm a street activist. I fight this. Because see, when you say, well, I'm a street activist and I fight this, chances are pretty good the person you're talking to may be on the other side. You know what I'm saying? So, I go out and I fight against homosexuality in the streets, and I go out and I fight against abortion, and I fight against the perversion in our schools. How do you explain that to somebody? See, that's part, I think, of the, I don't want to say I'm having an identity crisis, but it'd be so much easier if I just said, well, I'm a football coach. Where? Oh, yeah, where? I coached here. Oh, okay. What do you do? I run a ministry. Oh, yeah? Where's your church? I don't have a church. Well, wait. You with me? So that's part of the frustration I feel sometimes when I come on here. What is it I do? I mean, I know what I do, but what is it I do? So I'm glad you guys are here, and I'm glad that you guys could defend me and what it is that I do, whatever that would thing is. But I tell you, that's right, the top of my list of things that frustrate me. Hey, we're in Buckeye Lake this weekend. Robert Klaus is going to be here, and we're going to sit together and eat some hamburgers and tell some stories and do some praying and getting to know each other. And we'd love for you to come and be part of it. It's not too late. If some of you want to roll in tonight, you can roll in tonight. It begins actually at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And we've heard back from a couple people who the appeal that I put out yesterday, come on, man, get something going in your area. We heard back from a couple people. And so when we hear back from you, I'm going to immediately forward your information to probably Mike Heath or Polly or maybe Gary Pierce or somebody. And we'll get the ball rolling. And we want to listen. I think I just think we're in an urgent time to wake people up, to red pill people, to wake up the church, to get actively involved. So if you want to host something, get a hold of us. Just send me an email, Coach. I'll try to host one, and we'll pick it up and we'll run with it. Todd Barham is doing better. He's in one of those chemotherapy traps. So it takes it like 5 days in a row, and then he's off for a while. And I think he told me he has 3 or 4 more. However many, I can't remember. Hey, calling. People say, have you heard from Todd? How's Todd doing? Well, call him. Stay in touch with him. Encourage one another here in this battle that we're all going to go through. Hey, tomorrow, no, not tomorrow. Tomorrow's Saturday. Monday, Dr. Edwin Vieira is going to be back with us. And he's going to talk again about the militia. Of course, he's right down in the heart of it, what's going on. And I also ask him, hey, Doc, how about maybe we go a little bit about that money thing? That fake money thing. How about we talk a little bit about that? So tell your friends, Monday morning, Dr. Edwin Vieira is going to be with us, and pray for Polly and pray for Todd and Serge, you okay now? I mean, no, we're never okay, right? We're one visit to the doctor away from not being okay. So let's just lift our brothers up. Anybody want to throw anything on the table before I do? I got some good stuff to throw, by the way.
Okay. Coach, real quick. The next time somebody asks you, what do you do? Just say, hey, I'm a motivational coach. And they will, oh, yeah, well, what are you motivated about? I motivate Christians to actively promote their values in our society.
Larry, that's good. That is good. I'm a, I do. Because you know what? Really, truthfully, people admire. If you have the courage to go to the streets, people admire it. They may think you're a nut, but something down inside of them, they really kind of admire it. Because the average person doesn't really stand up for anything. Oh, they may stand up for the Buckeyes. They may argue against the Bengals and the Steelers. They may get involved but really to have an argument, a deep argument about anything, not really, not a whole lot of that going on. So thanks, Larry. I'll keep that in mind. I'm a motivational coach. Is that what you said, Larry? You're muted, bud. You're muted. Larry, you're muted.
Yeah, you absolutely. A motivational coach, and you motivate Christians to actively promote Christian values in our society.
Let's see, it's good, except I don't like the idea of Christian motivation. I'm with you. I think I get Joel Osteen's a Christian motivational guy, right?
No, we don't point out that he's a motivator for false Christianity.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't point it out. We give him credit for being a Christian, and that's where we fail.
That's right. So I can throw that. I can throw it out there, and then I can. Thanks, Larry. I can take it someplace else. Somebody else jump in. I got something good to get to here in a minute.
Coach, you're the difference in you and Joel Osteen, or me and most of your TV preachers, is we don't appeal to the through the psychology to people. We appeal with the truth, the Word of God, and there's a big difference.
That's there is,
total,
Randy.
Total 100% difference.
Randy, most of it's funny because folks, we always have a little chat before we go on the air. If you get into the show early. And I was having that discussion with Mike Heath today because I listened to his show again. Mike's show is always good. It's always good. It's always thought-provoking. And he was talking about that exact same – folks, listen. Christianity, much of Christianity, has become nothing more than pop psychology. There's a lot of pop psychology. Hard-hitting gospel preachers, they don't get much traction in society. If you think about it, think about the whoever your favorite preacher is. You like to listen to your favorite preacher because when he's done, or people when they're in church on the way home, the husband will turn to the wife or the wife will turn to the husband and say, oh, that talk was so uplifting. What a great sermon. That made me feel so good. See, it's pop psychology. Now, not always being done on purpose, but it's the way the gospel has been manipulated in the times in which we live. True, hard-hitting gospel. Hey, guys, I don't know what you think. I think there's an unbelievable audience for what we do here. I think if we were to get on a Christian, if Salem Media were to call today and say, Coach, we want to put you on, I think it'd be a huge, huge audience for it. But why won't they do that? I'm going to show you that here in a second, okay? Why won't they do that? Because Salem Media is more concerned with not offending a segment of their audience. If I were to go on Salem Media and I were to begin to talk about what we talk about here, you know who would be drawn to it? The people that would be drawn to it would be those people who are disenchanted with church, disenchanted with Christianity, and those who used to be Christians who still are looking for the truth. They would be drawn to that. I remember when I was on the local, terrestrial radio here in Columbus, Ohio. I shocked them. I said, listen, I told the general manager, I said, I'm not looking for a Christian audience. I'm trying to draw the lost. I want to be edgy. I want to draw the lost in here. Because if I'm edgy and I'm telling the truth about, if I'm looking at the church, hear me, if I'm looking at the church the way they're looking at the church, they're going to relate. But if I just put on a show just about Jesus and Christianity and Paul said this and Timothy said, if are you lost? You're going to listen to that? But I thought, man, you put me on secular radio and you turn me loose and let me go talk about homosexuality and how we ought to be fighting against. The phone lines light up. Why? Because there's something. Oh, the gospel is controversial. Why do we try to hide from controversy? It's the controversy that draws the lost. It's explaining to the lost why they're lost that draws them. And see, they don't have to become converted, but they listen to a show, and when the show's over, they are mad. I hear from them. They listen to the show. They go to my Facebook page and look at the vulgar things that they like they think, hey, listen there. Hey, Mudpacker, let me tell you something, dude. I don't really care what you say, all right? You put whatever you want to on my Facebook page, I just hit the delete button. It doesn't affect me one way or another. My question for you is, why are you so upset that you would go to my Facebook page and tell me how stupid I am? Can I tell you why? Because I said something that you didn't like that hits you, buddy. So you go ahead and throw that. Are you with me? Randy, are you with me? Larry, are you with me? Robert, you understand what I'm talking about? To get out of this Christian bubble that we all live in? My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Paul said he's all things to all men. All things, and I'm an agitator. I'm a fire starter. We're in such desperate times in America. They love Howard Stern, don't they? Howard Stern's a multimillionaire. He's influencing people every day. I can't stand to listen to the guy, but people like to. As Christian, is there any Christianity where you're allowed to get out of the box? What box is it? Coach, what is it you talk about? Well, my name's Dave Ramsey, and I talk about how getting out of debt. Oh, what a great show we are. What's your name? Well, my name is Harry Pimple, and I talk about how we need to take care of our temple. Oh, let's get him on there. It's and never, ever, ever going into the deep, deep, deep stuff that Christians need to. Somebody say amen, so I know I'm not alone. And we need it so badly.
Well, amen, Coach. Jesus went about overturning tables, and I think we got changing tables in our churches.
Coach, people want two kinds. There's two kinds of food on the market here. You've got comfort food, which is what everyone wants. Appease my little soul. Tell me I'm nice. Tell me I'm pretty. Just feed my little identity and personality. And then you've got Jesus food. Jesus said his food was to do the will of him who sent me, the will of God. That's where you separate. When you find someone that likes to do the will of God, they eat truth up. They eat up this what we have to say. It's two different people.
Yeah, but Randy, see, I'm after the lost. I'm glad the found are with us. I'm glad. I'm sharpened every day I'm on here. I'm sharpened by Robert or by Larry or by you, Randy, or by I'm sharpened by all of you. That's the joy of the show to me, right? But I'm sharpened by you guys to go impact the culture and the society. I got another email from a guy yesterday. It says, can you show me in the Gospels where we're supposed to impact the culture? I wish they had a meme of a punch. That's what I'd like to respond to an email like that. Just a fist, right? How can you be so stupid? What do you mean? Go ye into all the world. How about starting there, dude? Teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. How about there, huh? That'd be a good place to start, right? Yeah. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful woods of Darcy, but rather expose them. That'd be a good way to start. That'd be a good place, you idiot. You idiot. And you know what, Joe? I saw Robert just laugh, and I said that he's on my screen here. Because you know what I'm saying? That is the reaction that the average person would have.
Yes.
Yep, he's gone.
He froze up.
Yeah, I can't see. He's not doing anything.
Well, I want to tell you, I had an experience yesterday. A wife did some errands, and I met her at the dollar store. And I was wearing my cross hat. And this lady says, I like your hat. And that gave me an opportunity to express the word of God and encouragement, find out if she's a believer. And she asks, hey, where can we meet? And it was so encouraging to know that there are believers that hunger, they want to do something, but it's very, very far and few between. So I had a very positive time that yesterday afternoon. It was pretty cool.
Someone else.
Well, I like the fact what Coach is saying about the question about affecting society. When Jesus said that you are the salt and the light of the world, the salt does not control itself, neither does the light. A light only comes on when someone walks into the room and turns on the switch. God controls us. Wherever he dumps us, that's where we're supposed to affect the world. That's why he said, go ye therefore into all. That word all means every crevice, corner, and area of society, whether political, whether it's in the schools, whether it's in the churches, wherever it's at. We are called to go wherever we go. And when salt comes in contact with something, it should alter that which it comes in contact with.
Well, true. That's true. And also, you know, the Bible says we're soldiers, active soldiers. We've been given full spiritual armor. We're to resist the devil. This is spiritual warfare. You're not going to win a war by sitting back and not engaging the culture and engaging the wickedness and your opponents.
Absolutely, Robert. And if we're in an army and we're in a battle, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6, it says we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, demons, and rulers in high places. If you notice where the LGBT community wants to hold power, they hold power in high places, CEOs, they in corporations. That's why everything concaves, is because those who are holding the high powers in these places, and we are to go into every single one of these places and engage the enemy in that fashion.
Well, that's right. You know, God told Jesus, he said, sit my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool. under your feet. You know, God is putting the enemies, our enemies, crushing them under our feet as we go out, engage in warfare. There's no sense or place for passivity and just sitting back and loving and offending no one.
Yeah, you know, you guys are absolutely right. Dale, you hit the nail on the head. The alphabet death style community has such influence because they understand the power of unity. When one of them gets in charge of a company, they hire them. They go out and seek more sodomites and butt packers and mud packers to hire in their company. And we, as you know, we just don't understand even those true Christians, most of us don't understand the power of unity, because if we did, we would be clamoring to unify and help and support each other instead of taking every opportunity to try to point out every fault we see in others.
And Larry, understand this, the it's not the person, the LGBT person who's activating in that, because they don't realize, as Jesus looked at Peter, he says, you know now what spirit you're of. It's not the person. It's the spirit that they have either legally or illegally intrusive that has come inside them that absolutely is encapsulated and possessed them and now manifests itself through them. Because it's not the person. It's the spirit that's controlling that person.
Yeah, I like to say it's encouraging to learn. And to be in this so I'm like faith. I enjoy it and it gives me the power and able to research the devil tactics and out through the political system stuff this way. There's this person running for district 3 and a commissioner for my county, and I got my GoPro in there and I confronted her and I said, do you support the LGBTQ? And she blankly said, yes, I do. And I hit her with the negativity, with the death and what they're doing, and her mindset to allow people to be angry and bitter. And she just says, I can't handle this, Jeff. I don't want to listen to this. And she had to get up and walk away. Now that's a power. That's a power to have to be motivated and feel sorrowful for her.
It's because Corinthians says this, do you not know that you are the fragrance of Christ? To some, you are the stench of death, and to others with the sweet aroma of fellowship. And so when you come in like that, Jeff, the spirit that's possessing them discerns the spirit that is inside of you, and they don't just not like you. Watch their body contour, their faces contour, because you are the fragrance of God. You are the stench of death to them.
Hey, are you guys picking me up here?
Yes, sir.
We are now, Coach. We were talking all night. We were talking all sweet night about you.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, it's good. I'm on my phone. It was, what did they say? I was right in the middle of a rant. It's the devil. The devil's after us here today. I was in the middle of a great rant, and I come back, it's Flea Flicker Friday. You guys are probably doing pretty good without me. But let me make the point.
Hold on, Coach. Let me, to your credit, when you stepped out and Jared says, all right, guys, start talking, because it was flat air, brother, to listen to several people step in, step up, and just take that flagpole, brother, and drive it into the ground and keep preaching Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, that's good to know. Friday, I guess, of all days to happen. Now, I'm still sitting there. I'm distracted because my internet is down. I'm on my phone. My internet's down, and I'm trying to figure out at the same time how to get my internet up and gone, because, see, if I go over here and unplug this thing that reboots my internet, everything goes black, so I'm kind of hanging on to do that. Let me go someplace here real quickly. You guys know what I'm saying, right? We fight this battle containment. Guys, Lord, put that internet back on. I need some of this stuff. I need some of this. Let me, are all opinions... Folks, we're in a information war. And where I was heading before I got cut off on my internet was pop psychology, and our church is being full of pop psychology
say, Coach, what do you mean about pop psychology? Well, you feel good, I feel good. Christianity's become feel good. That's what it's become. And I jokingly would tell people, when I go to church, I want to leave feeling worse, not better. I want to hear the pastor beat me up so I know how much I'm missing the mark. I don't want him to pat me on the back, tell me what a brave little soldier I am. Well, maybe sometimes. Maybe sometimes we need that encouragement. Maybe sometimes we need that pat on the back, but not every time. Not I'm going to reset my computer. Not every time, but that's what our churches have become. It is pop psychology. And so we run into, so how many times have you had a conversation with a brother? And the brother, by brother, I mean somebody you go to church with or somebody whatever, and they say to you, well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. I'm going to tell you something. There's something in every bit of fiber in my body that hates that. I don't want to agree to disagree if it involves truth. I don't want to do that. I don't want to say, we'll just agree to disagree here. Now, we can agree to disagree over doctrine, rapture, submersion and baptism, speaking and okay, to a degree we can, right? But folks, we can't. We have been programmed and trained that it is righteous for Christians to agree to disagree. Now, whoa. With the culture. We are Christians when we agree to disagree. When they want to come in and they want to teach homo sex in the libraries to my children, my grandchildren, I ain't agreeing to disagree. But see, that's what the culture has taught we as Christians to do. And if you won't look, if I can get my stuff up here and running, I'm rebooting right now. If you look at where we Christians are, that is exactly everything that we do. Take the Bible out of school. Okay, well, I think it's wrong, but I'll agree to disagree with that. Teach homosexuality and genderism to our children. Well, I don't agree with that, but we'll agree to disagree on that because you're the authority. Right? You with me, folks? You with me? Agree to disagree. So Christians always agree to disagree, and look where we are.
The ghost, three words. Secret Judaism known.
Say it again, Vinny. I'm sorry.
Secret Judaism known. Which was the agreement that no one would harm Jews, but Jews would not harm society.
I got you. Okay. Yep.
It turned out to be a one-way street, didn't it?
Right. It sure did.
Okay. Just wanted to prove your point. That's all, Coach.
Vinny, as I'm typing as we're talking, because my computer's rebooting here, see if that's going to make a difference.
It'll get there, bro.
We've adopted their philosophies. Their philosophies with our agreeing to get to disagree. Say, oh, Coach, you can disagree, but don't be disagreeable. Sometimes you gotta be disagreeable. What are you talking about? How are you ever gonna win a war, an argument, if you always agree to disagree?
Didn't Jesus disagree with the Pharisees of his day, and he pointed their flaws out? There are things that we can say, I agree to disagree, and those are non-eternal end results. But when they have, end results of eternal damnation, there has to be absolutism.
Dale, it's the whole thing. Daggone it. Come on, computer! I'm not mad. Just seems
Coach.
I got some great stuff to show you today of why this has happened to us. Thank God Jared's on my screen right now. So Jared, that tells me the internet must be working. If you're able to be working on my screen, my internet's working. Oh, well, I don't know. You remember yesterday your dad changed my password at Google yesterday. Maybe that's it. Could that be it? I don't know. I don't know. Somebody come on in. I want to talk about it until I have the stuff to be able to show you. Okay?
Coach, I like to say, if you believe in Jesus, obey his word, obey his commandments. But Don't let the political parties define who you are. Let God define who you are.
Coach, everyone's so fearful.
Jeff, that sounds good. That sounds good. We got pop psychology, man. People don't even know the Lord. They don't have an intimate relationship with Jesus. They don't understand it. And so when, going back to where I was, right? But before I was so unceremoniously cut off by Google or whoever cut me off, I was making this point. I said, turn on local Christian radio and listen to the malarkey you get. Dave Ramsey, vitamins, and what do they call that stuff that makes your wood stay stiff? What's that called? The Viagra, right? All this stuff. It's all nothing. And I would love somebody. I would think it would be awesome to have a talk radio show where some guy came on and poked out the hypocrisy in Christianity and showed what the solution to the hypocrisy was. Wouldn't that be an interesting show? Wouldn't the lost want to hear that? Don't some of the people who go to church, don't they hate the church? Don't they hate Christianity? Wouldn't they love to tune into a show where somebody is saying, yeah, I agree with you. Church sucks. I agree with you. That would be good, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that draw some of the lost maybe and help lead them back to their father? I think so. But we don't even think outside the box. We would never, ever do that. Because why? Because all those other guys who are turning to Matthew 6, verse 12, they wouldn't approve of it. So that's not very Christian. That's just not very Christian. How do you know that? Well, it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the annotated version. That's what we get on Christian radio, right? It's what we get. We have no interest in trying to reach the world. Yeah, Jim. Oh, my goodness. Well, if I do that, am I going to lose my computer? Hey, listen. Hey, guys, if you lose me for a few minutes, somebody take over. Let's see what happens here. Hang on.
We got you, brother. We got you, back.
Let's do this.
Hey, it looks like...
Go ahead. It reminds me of, I'm telling you, the Star Spangled Banner. When those guys were, when Francis Scott Keyes was writing about it, and he's seeing that flag continuously fly, and that British admiral going, we know we're directly hitting that flag all night long. And when they got the shoreline, they saw all those dead bodies piled up, because every time that flag got hit, that guy went down, another guy stood right up behind him and put that flag right back in the ground. That's what we're here for, Coach.
Amen.
Yeah, we got you, Coach. So what happens is, we're suffering from permutations of doctrine. What happens is Talmud is running around permutating what the words mean. And then they change the words, and that changes all the laws retroactively. And of course, you don't know that, but since you're just a regular person, you just have to deal with it. It's ridiculous.
Hey, Dale. What's instruction on how to make disciples?
And what you do, prayer marches, walk around and pray in your area. You don't have to pray out loud. You can pray silently as you walk, and no one can stop you. No one can know what you're thinking. And you can cleanse the area that you're in.
First off is understand the word disciple means discipline. It's a life of discipline. Therefore, the law is my school teacher. It teaches me how to walk. The word sin means to miss the mark. Well, if I'm being disciplined in my walk, then I won't miss the mark. That is the life of that is the life of discipleship. And if you want to know how to fix a car, you go to the manual of the car. So keeping our nose in God's word, all of it, not just some of it. You know, you go to work on a car and you go to remove a power steering pump. If you don't look at the manual and how to do that, you'll mess it up. There is a procedure in how to take a power steering pump out. And sometimes you got to take out stuff that you would think that's crazy. Why do I got to take this out? But that's the same thing with Christianity. We look at it and we look at God's word. We're looking for the shortcuts around everything. And that's just not the way it is. We got to follow God's word and his plan. That is the life of disciple and discipleship.
if you go to church for prosperity, amen, you're going for the wrong movement. You're going for Satan. You're going for Satan's purposes, not God's.
Jesus said, if you abide in my word, Dale, this is good. You open this up. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Guess what?
You know it.
Being a disciple sets us free to what? To set other people free. It's to liberate them. When it liberates us, it can liberate them.
Coach is back up. The flag's still flying, Coach. Bring it in.
I'm up?
You're up.
Not on my screen, I'm not. Am I back, Jared?
Total rock and roll. You're
on, I'm on my, oh, I was off again? I've been saying stuff. No wonder I couldn't figure out. No wonder nobody answered me. Oh, this is distracting. This is just, here's a question. Here's a question. One of the things I had down here. Golly, Jared. I'm watching Jared work on my screen. Hey, folks. Are all opinions valid? Are all opinions? Hey, I'm all up. Yay, opinions. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, you're here, brother.
Okay, let me turn this off a minute. Are all opinions
valid? Yeah, I make it mad because I was in a conversation with a guy the other day, and you know, he was. Have you ever noticed how the left always thinks we're just stupid? Right? I'm just stupid. If I knew what he knew, I wouldn't be so stupid. But you're just stupid. And then we go along, we let them get away with it, right? And see, I just love to. Not all opinions are valid, boys. Not all opinions are valid. I was having a discussion with this guy the other day, and he's sexual rights or whatever that thing's called, right? Human rights, sexual, blah, 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 blah. And he said something to me, and it just teed me off. I said, listen, hey, bud, listen. Why would I listen to anything you say when you can't even figure out how human plumbing works? You don't even understand where a penis is supposed to be inserted. Why would I listen to anything else you say? Because, Larry, not all opinions are valid. Truth opinions is valid. It's the truth.
Opinions are like buttholes, Coach. Everybody's got one, and most of them stink.
That's right. Well, so Dale, why do we then agree to disagree with invalid opinions? Now, listen, you guys know, you guys are part of this. You know this. You're allowed to come on here and say what you want to say. I don't agree with everything everybody says. We're brothers in the Lord. But if you come in here and you start pumping foolishness, I'm going to say, hey, dude, your opinion don't count here. Out of here till you figure out what goes in. You with me? You with me? And so Christianity, again, has taught us to compromise on truth. That's how we got where we are. Do I have time? 7:38. Oh, this takes so much. This is so important that I want to get into. Hey, guys, let me ask you something. Where does morality come from? Where does it come? Because this gets to the crux, really, of what the issue is, what the problem is. When someone is trying to talk, like, for instance, if I go in and in front of some of those high school kids that I do every once in a while, and I say, can somebody explain to me why murder is wrong? Why is murder wrong? And they think for a minute, and then finally they'll tell you, well, say, no one has the right to kill another person. I said, I agree. Why? Well, we just all know that's wrong. When people kill people, don't know it's wrong. What do you mean we all know it's wrong? And who are you to tell the guy that's murdering somebody that they're wrong to do that? Maybe it's wrong to you, but it's not wrong to them. Where does right and wrong come from? Do you really believe it? Is there anything that you can tell me right now, I would say to them, that you know is absolutely true? True no matter what. And it's hard for them at first. It's hard. And then somebody will say, well, yeah, your hat's red. And I said, who told you that? What? And they look around.
You told that. That's green. It's not red. That's green. Who told you that was red? They get so frustrated. Folks, that's what's going on in our culture, in our society. They're teaching this, us that this is green. And we look at it and say, no, Randy, that's red. Randy, isn't that red? Isn't that red? Randy, isn't that red? And Randy's, well, you know, yeah, I was always told it was red, but no, it's green. With me?
Hey,
that's what's going on in our culture and in our society, see? The undermining of truth as we agree to disagree, this is green, when it's clearly not green. Yeah, Jeff?
I had a guy yesterday, this is a good example of what you've been talking about. I go into the Chinese restaurant. The owner's there. He's jolly. This old guy's jolly. They start chatting with me, and it turns to, you know, how's your day? Oh, great. And I said, listen, one guy muttered something, and I said, listen, your upright body temperature and breathing. You're not in a hospital bed, and you're not 6 foot under. And then it goes to the old guy looks at me and says, yeah, but God, you know, if you take the word God and put another O in there, you get, ooh, this old guy. I thought, what the heck is wrong? I looked at him. I said, wait a minute, buddy. And right there in the lobby, in front of everybody, I said, now listen, here's the problem with most of them. They don't understand that good people, because you're using the word good. So most good people go to hell. I said, oh, well, you're not going to go to hell. Be born again. I go into this. The guy just got upset. He looked at me. He says, that's just faith. I said, buddy, that is truth. And he walked out of the place. It was like.
Well, Jeff, I don't know if you guys saw this the other night when Trump was doing his rally up in the. I'm getting my feet back under me now. Trump was doing his rally up in Michigan, and he made the comment about John Dingell, Congressman, former Congressman John Dingell, who was dead. He's dead. He died. And he said, maybe he's looking down on us. Congressman Dingell's looking down on us. And he said, or looking up. And, oh, my goodness, the left went crazy. Why? Because the left doesn't have a problem if you tell them everybody's going to heaven. But if you happen to insinuate, by the way, a heaven they don't believe in, but if you insinuate that they're not in heaven, they're in hell, all hell breaks loose, right? So what makes an opinion valid? Better yet, what makes an expert an expert? Ever ask yourself, you're sitting on that panel, I got to be honest with you. I'd love to get on some of those debate stages with some of those experts. I'd love to get on. I'd like to be on a table and on a panel with. I'm not elevating myself to this point. Okay, please relax. I'd love to be on a panel with T.D. Jakes and Rick Warren and Joel Osteen and Bill Hybels and Beth Moore and be amongst those experts. Because I want to ask you something. What makes them an expert? What makes them more of an expert than me? Can somebody explain that to me? I've been through some fiery furnaces. I may not be an expert on building a church, getting a big church. I may not be an expert on Christian happy face. I may not be an expert, but you know what? Is my opinion valid? Is there room someplace for my opinion? Or do I have to be Mr. Happy Face, everybody happy, 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 in order to be considered part of Christianity? That's what they're doing to us.
Hey, that's Coach.
Yes.
I ever tell you about the story of I worked in a computer center, and some guy walked in and says, I'm a professor, and I have 4 degrees. He couldn't open a Word document. So what do your 4 degrees, pal?
Right. Or what are you an expert in? What are you an expert in? Do I have time? I have 15 minutes. Yeah, I'm going to give you a real quick overview of what they've done to us, okay? And I should have done this sooner. I've never done it. Some of you probably will never have heard what I'm getting ready to talk to you about. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. The Hegelian dialectic. And it's a work everywhere, everywhere that you go. Do you ever go to a city council meeting? And when you go to the city council meeting, they get you in there. For instance, I know that a couple months ago, they were discussing homosexual rights in Westerville, Ohio, where JR lives. And JR goes to the city council meeting, And what happens at the city council meeting? They immediately put them in groups, right? They have a moderator, and then they'll have six people in that group. And then over here, they'll have a moderator, and there'll be six people in that group. And they'll have six or seven different groups, and they'll say, listen, well, we can't all speak at once, so let's get into groups, and let's discuss it in groups. And then we'll summarize it at the end. Of course, the moderators are all part of the gig, right? They're all part of the gig. So they do what they call thesis antithesis. Here it is. Okay, here's what it is. So let's say we're talking about homosexuality. And everybody's opinion is valid. You'll hear it at every meeting, right? So you walk into that meeting and they put you in this group over here. And then this group over here, you are in a group with a bunch of people who believe that the church ought to accept homosexuality. And that it's a blessing and we ought to love them. And you're right in the middle of that group. And you think, no way, homosexual. No. And you're in that group. So they take you and they say, well, over here, we have a group of people who are totally against rights for homosexuals. And then over here, we have those who love the homosexuals. And can't we come to some type of consensus? Can't we come up with a policy that will please all of us? And so they put all of us right-wingers over here and all left-wingers over here, and we want no homosexuality. And because of all the committees and all the groups they put us in, we come to a compromise, a consensus. And lo and behold, the truth we were standing on, we have now compromised. And the homosexuals over here who had no rights at all, through consensus, they now have moved to here. And then next week they have, or next month, next year, whatever, then they have another meeting over whether or not homosexuals ought to be able to teach. And I show up with my radical group of guys, say, no, we don't know homosexuals. No. And over here, oh, well, we need to love them. And well, can we compromise? Is there any way we can compromise? Yes, we can compromise. But let's let them have, what would we call that? Civil rights. And the next thing you know, we move. Folks, that's the Hegelian dialectic. And it's done in every aspect of our lives. Abortion. Think about abortion. What do they do in abortion? You have those, no abortion at all. And then over here, well, what if you're raped? And so then those of us who said no abortion at all, through consensus, we say, well, okay, rape, incest, and the life of the mother. And so we move from over here, no abortion, to, right, we're now here, rape, incest, and the life of the mother. Well, how about this one? No smoking. Stop smoking. No smoking, or whatever it was. We went from the Marlboro man to no cigarettes. How'd that happen? From the Marlboro man to no smoking. I want to start out a little bit, right? No smoking in theaters. No smoking in restaurants. No smoke. Right? See, that's how the left has moved. Because why? Through the Hegelian dialectic. And the thesis, antithesis, we have compromised the truth. The Bible says homosexuality is an abomination. But we have these leftists over here who want to see homosexuality in the church. And so then we say, well, can't they just come and be part of the congregation? Don't we just love them? Just love on them. And we go from no homosexuality to, well, we moved a little bit. And so now here's the standard. You get me? You understand, folks? This is called the Hegelian dialectic. And it's how the left does everything. Look what they're doing to Trump. Look what they're doing to President Trump. And why are they doing it to President Trump? Don't ever forget this. The entire thing is about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the next Supreme Court justice. They're trying to muddy Donald Trump so much. And when it comes time to appoint the next Supreme Court justice, they're going to say, he's under impeachment. He can't do that. How can we have him do that? And they're going to say to the Republicans, hey, you racist, bigot, homophobe, sexist, you're going to support Donald Trump? Is that what you're going to tell me, you homophobes? And, the Republicans, they don't want to call them homophobes. So they compromise. See, that's the Hegelian dialectic. And it's happened within the church, see. That's the battle that we see going on from the church. From those of us who they call, dare I say it, fundamentalists to evangelifish. And the evangelifish are changing all of the standards of righteousness in the church, all of them. And how have they done it? Purpose-driven life. Best life now. How can you argue with that? You guys over here, coach, you're just haters and mean and no grace and no love. And look at us over here. We love everybody. God is love. We love. We love. Can't we reach some kind of type of consensus here? That's what committees do, see. Somebody wants to be on the school board? Don't go be on the school board. Everything's mandated from on high. And it's all about consensus building. Well, you're radical. And well, we're not so radical. This is the way we really want it to be. But you're really radical. And we're going to get you to move. And how are we going to do it? We're going to do it through consensus. Okay, somebody come on in here. That's the Hegelian dialectic. And that's how every area of your life is being controlled. Every area of it. Think of the Supreme Court decisions. Separation between the church and state. As soon as they brought that in, whoo-wee, did that thing start to move. The right became absolutely irrelevant when they said there was a separation between the church and state. Your opinion doesn't matter. But to please you, we'll still say the Pledge of Allegiance. We'll still say the Pledge of Allegiance. And we'll allow silent prayer. How about today? Is there silent prayer today? No, we're clear over here now, see. Because we compromised, clear back here. You just move a little bit at a time. You find a position, you stand on, you believe it. You go to a committee meeting and you give a little bit of ground. You go to the next committee meeting, you give a little bit more ground. You go to the next committee meeting, and all the time you think you're holding your ground, and you're not. Being compromised right out of it. I'm okay, you're okay. Let's all agree. Everybody agree to disagree, and it started in the church. Come on in. Robert Klaus, get ready to roll here.
Coach, it all goes to humanistic viewpoint. Secular humanism took truth as absolute and made truth as relative. Then it laid that premise, and all of it stems off of that right there.
So, Randy, that's why people get upset when I tell them God doesn't love everybody. they get mad, right?
It's absolute. Yeah.
Coach, bring
everyone back to absolute. Argument we end, you bring them back to absolute. You take relative off the page. And we'll win the argument every time if we'll do that.
Hey, dude, listen, I'm sorry, but your argument ain't valid with me. It ain't valid. Your opinion doesn't count with me.
I know.
Hey, all you want to. You can have it, but it don't count with me. Why do we say that?
I tell you what I'm amazed at, Coach. I've been really getting hell shot ever since I called out Dr. Tim Hill from the Church of God. You know, because I try to tell these idiots, everything starts at the top. It starts at the top. If the top's wicked, if the hierarchy, the leadership is wicked, that whole mainline denomination is wicked. But at Church of God, I'm telling you, I've never seen so many sacred cows in all my life. Sacred golden geese, whatever you want to call it. But I got rebuked. Huh?
Don't they say that a fish rots from the head?
Brother, they don't understand that. I tried to tell this older pastor called me last night rebuking the hell out of me, trying to. And I said, preacher, I said, don't you realize and understand if the top's wicked, that whole thing's wicked. God can't bless none of that main line. You're under a wicked, evil yoke. And, Coach, you can't get across to these people, man.
Hey, folks, listen to me. Listen to me. Everything you eat goes through the mouth. Everything you eat. What flows through the head flows through the whole body. You don't eat with your feet. You don't eat with your belly button. You eat with your mouth. And so the head is the central focus of everything. What goes in that head goes throughout the body. We're seeing it everywhere we look. Come on in real quick, Robert. I don't want to miss you here. December 20th.
Okay. This sort of talks about Christian identity. You know, we're to be holy sheep, not sacred cows. Here's a quote from K.P. Johannan. More than 2 million people who do not know Jesus head toward hell to perish for eternity, while the church laughs its way to hysteria, claiming that this is a sign of the last days, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's your Christian discernment for you.
Amen.
Christian identity in Christ, to be born again, to the born-again child of God and new creature, Christ has become wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification, and redemption. This new creature who has been made complete in Christ and who has been redeemed from sin's dominion, condemnation, and can walk in newness of life, being liberated from sin's control and power, and cleansed from sin's defilement, and sanctified or set apart from sin's presence. That's the Christian identity. He has been, or she has been, adopted into God's family and can enjoy being an overcomer and citizen of heaven. However, without Christ, one remains a son of the evil one, a captive of the devil, having no hope and without God in the world. So not everyone's okay, right? This, I'm okay, you're okay.
That's right.
That's not okay.
No, you're not okay.
It's not okay. Those who have heard and received the word of God as the life-giving word coming from God and not from men will find that the word of God performs its saving and creative work in those who believe. So we see that this faith, this is a faith venture, but surely one that will prove valid by subsequent new creation for those who are truly born again. Every religion is a faith venture, except for the skeptic who refuses to believe, or the atheist who believes it is foolish to believe. Only Christianity offers a religion whose founder is alive, resurrected, and ascended above the heavens rather than being a pile of dead bones buried beneath the earth. That is why Christianity is rightly called a living relationship rather than a dead religion.
That's right, brother. Living faith of those now dead. That's what Christianity is.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We got the real deal.
Folks, listen. Sorry about the breakup. It really broke our momentum here today, and I apologize for that. I guess here's the nut in the nutshell. Here's the nut, right? You either believe in truth or you don't. And if you believe in truth, you cannot compromise for somebody else's non-proof opinion. We can't do that. As soon as we begin to waver, Bruce Jenner will, is, and always shall be a man. Why would the church ever compromise on that basic truth? Why would, because we compromise on that basic truth, we end up having debates in our government as to whether or not they ought to have different kind of rights. Do you see what happens to us?
Hey, Coach.
As soon as we gave up on the idea that God is sovereign, king of all, lord of all, talking about Christians now, and then compromise and say the government says, okay, well, not everybody agrees with that. We should have said, I'm sorry, everybody else is wrong. Jesus is truth. We stand on truth. No, no. We compromise because why? We agreed every voice mattered. Every opinion was valid. And they're not.
Coach, you can't use laws to shield your crimes. That's the entire thing. You can't use law to shield crime. Biden is a crime, and they're trying to shield Biden by Trump. It's ridiculous.
I put the go to Webster's real quick, Jared. Sorry, Vinny. Go to Webster. Vinny, I'll talk to you. I want to talk to you about stuff you. I heard what you sent me last night. I want to talk to you about Webster's real quick. I'm about out of time here. Webster's. Jared, yeah, attaboy. Webster's Dictionary, 1820. Jared, put in there valid. Valid, V-A-L-I-D. Is every argument valid? What's it say? What's Webster say? Having sufficient strength of force founded in truth. That's all you need to know. Right there it is. For an argument to be valid, having sufficient strength of force founded in truth. So when somebody stands up and tells me he has a penis and he's a woman, that's an invalid position. It's invalid. Yet we compromise, don't we? We compromise. See, we, by even acknowledging the very lie at the beginning, how will we ever stop that lie from spreading? As soon as we drop the banner of truth on what we know to be truth, on what the Bible tells us is true, what Christ told us is true, as soon as we compromise on that very truth, we are on sinking sand, we are on a downward slope, and all you got to do, folks, is look around. The church is no longer that strong tower, that beacon of truth, that firm foundation to stand on. The church is no longer that. It's no longer that, folks. not all opinions are valid. See some of you here in Buckeye Lake tomorrow. See the rest of you Monday morning. God bless you.